When your heart's full of joy, God's squeezing your heart and the juices are just popping out your eyeballs. Well, one of, speaking of favorite songs, one of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Genesis. And whenever I think about Genesis and some of the things that I learned when I was in seminary, and one of the first classes I had was on the book of Genesis, and had to learn how to read it in Hebrew. And I don't read it in Hebrew anymore. But anyway, Genesis is beautiful. It reminds us and tells us a story in the first chapter and following of God's goodness. Have you ever thought about how great our God is and how good He is to you and to all of us? He is definitely great. He's definitely good. And you know, sometimes when I get the feeling down, I just like to get out and I look at the things that God's created and just praise Him for all that He's done and all that He's created within us. And certainly we can see that in the God's Word, and we see it in our everyday life. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, it's the story of creation, and I just want us to be refreshed and renewed on the creation of God, because it's all around us, from a new little baby, to the birds, to the everything. We're going to touch on that in just a moment, but I do want to read, before getting into chapter 1, I want to read a verse out of chapter 2, and if I can get my tears cleared up. Verse 4 in chapter 2 says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Now, my focus is in Genesis chapter 1, and I want us to look at God's creation and see God's creation around us and what He's doing each and every day. And there is a difference between to make something and to create from nothing. Now, I know that some of you in this room, some in the church, bake cakes and other baked goods and stuff, and no doubt they're delicious. And my sister, she does that. She'll make 5 or 6 cakes a week. And but I've told my sister before, I said, you aren't actually creating from nothing. You're taking something that's already created, that God created, and you're using that and making it into something that's really delicious. And I think we're living in a day and age where people forget what God's done. They forget about His greatness. They forget about what He's created. And I think I may have shared this story before, that a longtime friend, even before I even met Terry, we grew up together in a church in Columbus, Georgia, and she told me this joke one day, and she said, "Did you hear the one where the scientists came before God and said, 'You're not very smart, God. We know how to create a man.'" And God says, "Okay, create a man." And the guy, the scientist, reaches down in the dirt and picks up the dirt and starts to form it, and God says, "Excuse me, I created the dirt. You got to create your own dirt before you can create man." Well, you know, it's a joke, but it's a little more serious than it sounds as a joke, because in this day and time, you know, just recently the scientists are saying we've learned how to recreate animals that are extinct. They're wanting to do a mammoth. They're wanting to do a saber-toothed tiger. And my response to that is, you better be careful when you mess with God's creation. You better be careful, because he can show up and say, "Oh, you think you're smarter than a fifth grader? You're not even as smart as a fifth grader, let alone smart as me." Leave it alone, scientists. Let God's creation be what God's creation is. Well, let's look at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, the very first word that I learned in Hebrew was one of the names of God, which was been listed there. And then the second word was the verb that's there, created, which is bara. And the way my Hebrew professor used to teach it, he would say, God bara, because he would say it all in Hebrew. But it was like it just had this unusual, and it's only used of God, that God can create. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God hovering over the waters. This morning in Sunday school, Patricia was talking about yesterday how there was a haze on the sun, and it just had this brilliant, bright glow, so to speak, kind of a hazy effect to it. Well, think about when dust is hovering over and blocking the sun. And here's God, the Spirit of God, is hovering over the waters. Back when the Olympics were in Beijing, China, and I was on a mission trip to Beijing, we went up on the Great Wall of China. And it's a massive wall. I mean, it's places, we only went in one spot, but there's places where it may be about as wide as the length of one of these pews, and other places it's as wide as the whole sanctuary. And the smog was so bad, I could not breathe. And someone said, what is wrong with you? I said, well, I can't breathe. And all the smog. And they said, that's not smog, that's fog. I said, no, there's a difference between fog and smog. But this was pollution, combination of fog and smog. But you literally could not see the sun. It was that way. But anyway, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In verse 3, it said, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Have you ever thought about if the sun went out, if the sun burnt out, we'd freeze real quick without the light? And have you ever paid attention to lights? Like, you know, certain times of the year you have fireflies that fly around and their little tails just light up. That's so cool to me. And when I was a little kid, we used to catch them, and we'd either put them in a glass jar, you know, and we had to keep them, or either sometimes we'd pinch off that little light and put it on a ring or something, walk around, I got a glow-in-the-dark ring, you know. To me, that was fascinating. I was always fascinated by the light that the lightning bugs or the fireflies would put out. And what was interesting here is, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. You ever been in a place where it was so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? Up in Kentucky, the Mammoth Caves, one of those caves that I spoke of, I think it was last week, one of those caves, you walk in, they turn the lights out, you can hold your hand in front of your face, and you cannot see your hand. It's that dark. And they say that if you are confined in an area like that for a long period of time, that your eyes will have a hard time coming back when you get back into the light, because you've been in darkness for so long. But God said it was good. Now, there's an old TV show. Some of the older ones in here remember a show, I think it was the 60s or 70s, called Hee Haw. And there was a scene in it where one of the guys sits in the barber chair and the barber's cutting his hair. And he said, well, did you hear the tragedy about my great uncle passing away? And the guy sitting in the chair says, oh, man, that's bad. He says, no, that's good, because he left me $50,000. The guy says, well, that's good. No, that's bad, because the IRS took $25,000 of it. Yeah, that's bad. No, that's good, because I still had $25,000 and I used it to buy an airplane and learned how to fly. And he said, well, that's good. He said, no, that's not good, because I turned the plane upside down and I fell out. He said, that's bad. He said, no, that's good, because I spotted a haystack that I could land in. He said, well, that's good. No, that's not good. That's bad, because there was a pitchfork sticking out of the haystack. He said, yep, that'd be bad. He said, no, that's good, because I missed the pitchfork. He said, well, that's good. He said, no, I also missed, it's bad, because I missed the haystack too. Well, it goes on and on and on, and it's constantly back and forth, good, bad, good, bad. But God said, this is good, when he created the light. And then on the second day, verses 7 and 8, he says, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters from where they were under the firmament from the waters above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So he created the heavens. Then day three comes along, and he says, let there be waters up under the heavens and the earth, verse 9, to be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, he creates, on day three, he creates the dirt and the grass, the trees, and the plants. Now, granted, in our day and time, there are some plants that are not, in my opinion, not very good. The other day when the guys were out here cutting the grass, one of the guys walked over and he said, do you have anything for poison ivy? And I said, no, because I'm not allergic to it. And he said, is there anything in the church? So there might be something we might need to get a bottle of that stuff just to keep in the church. But somewhere out here, he got into some poison ivy, and he was itching and breaking out, and he was needing some help. So poison ivy's probably not good, okay? Even though I'm not allergic to it. That's not good. And then there'd be some trees and plants and weeds. You know, I don't see a good in sand spurs, you know, especially when they get in your pants and they stick and prick. Maybe God saw something good in it, but I don't see anything good there. But each time God said he saw what he had done, verse 9 and 10, when he separated it, he says, and God saw that it was good. Verses 11 and 13, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to all its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. You know, there are a lot of types of fruit trees. And most fruit trees, I like the fruit that's on those trees. And that's good. And there are some trees that don't produce fruit. A Bradford pear does not produce a pear. It just produces an awful smell when it's blooming. But it's still a beautiful tree in and of itself when it is in bloom, even if it does smell. But did you notice how each time God says it was good? We'll look at a few more of them here in just a second. As we move forward, in verse 14, it says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So here in these verses, God's creating the sun and the moon and the stars. And God saw in verse 18 that it was good. Do you ever go out when it's dark and there's not a cloud in the sky, and you look up at the stars? You know, that's when I want to praise God. God, you're so neat. Them stars are just up there, and you just ding, 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 put them all in place. Same with a lunar eclipse or even a solar eclipse, just to see that, how beautiful it really is. One time in Australia, I was out. We were with the Aborigines. We were out in the middle of nowhere, and there was not a cloud in the sky, and you could look in the stars, and they just looked like billions of stars. And I got to talking about to one of the Australian men. I said, this is so beautiful. God created all of this. He said, yeah, but you guys, because at the time we lived in Alaska, they said, you guys, you live up there where you can see the northern lights. I said, yeah, but this is really beautiful. He said, well, over there is the Southern Cross. Never seen that before. And guess what? You won't see the Southern Cross in Georgia. But if you go down Australia, you go down below the equator, on a clear night, you can see the Southern Cross, and it's as clear as I'll get out. One night this week, when we were coming down Harmony Church Road, it was dark, and right over in this direction, I don't know what it was. It may have been a meteorite, it may have been a comet, or may have been a space junk flying through the atmosphere, but it looked like a star that had a long tail as it's coming across. It wasn't there for just a few moments, and then it was gone. But you know, I was looking at that, and I thought, God, you're so great. You're so neat how you form all these things. There was a movie, Bruce Almighty, with Jim Carrey, and he's not one of my favorite actors, but for a little bit in the movie, he is God, and he's painting the stars using his fingers and the meteorites flashing by trying to get his girlfriend's attention. Well, lights are beautiful in some ways. In November in India, they have a celebration called Diwali. And everybody decorates their houses with lights. Now, some are candles, and some are Christmas lights, but they decorate their houses, they decorate everything with these lights because it's the festival of lights. It's called Diwali. And while it was neat, you could walk down the street and you'd see things, and it's nothing like our Christmas, okay? Don't get me wrong. I mean, these are candles that are burning in most time. Even in the churches, they would have some form of light decoration when you'd walk into the church. And it was just, to me, it was just showing God's greatness and His beauty. You know, the lights in the heavens are for us to praise the beauty of God's creation. The northern lights, the comets, the eclipses. The northern lights are really neat when you can see them, you know, and we got to even walk through them, and the energy would be so strong, and it would just like a static electricity charge there. But you know, as I think about God's greatness when it comes to lights, there's a passage in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 12, where it says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or measured the heaven with a span of his hand, or calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, or weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." That verse jumped out at me one day, and I did some studying on it. If you took a bucket a mile wide, a cubic mile, a mile wide, a mile deep, and a mile long, it would take 85 million times to empty the Atlantic Ocean. And that's not as big as the Pacific Ocean. And at the speed of light, the nearest star is 4.2 light years away. And God just measures them off with His hand. We have a really awesome God. He is so awesome. Well, in verse 20 to 23, the fifth day, it says, "Then God said, let the waters abound with all the abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good." I don't know if you've noticed something, but there's something that's really, really beautiful in God's creation. Right outside here under this porch, up in a corner, there's a mud bird nest. Looks like mud. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I guess they're called swallows, barn swallow maybe. But about 2 weeks ago, I noticed that Mama was sitting on the nest and Daddy was sitting on the little ledge. Last Sunday night, I walked over to get something out of the church, and I was watching, and I sat in just inside the fellowship hall, and every 3 minutes or less, I timed it, every 3 minutes or less, either Mama or Daddy Bird would fly up there, drop an insect or something in one of those little mouths. About every 3 minutes. And I watched those little birds, and I counted there was four little baby birds, about maybe an inch long, and the mouth constantly open, begging for food. If you walk out there today, because I looked at them when I walked in, there's four little birds on there that's about that big, sitting on that teeny tiny nest. And Mom and Dad, when Ann got here, Mom and Dad were out there flying around like, you know, you're getting a little too close to our birds. And, you know, I just thought, God's so great. I mean, He takes care of those little bitty birds. He takes care of us. He guides us and directs us. But, you know, that is so beautiful, seeing those birds. Probably by next Sunday, those little baby birds, they'll probably be out flying around themselves. And then they'll, I don't know if the same ones come back there or what, but there'll be another set in there later. But it was good. You know, a lot of us like to fish. You ever caught a fish that you thought was funny? Oh, I have. I've never caught one, but, you know, and I look at a sturgeon. I think God had to have laughed. Look at that, what I made, man. That thing's created. That thing's ugly, you know. But I know that when we lived in Alaska and we would ice fish and we would catch a fish that would be about that big, and they called it a bullhead, and a real big head, a teeny bitty tail. Ugly fish. And every time I caught one, I thought, God, you must have been laughing, because that is the funniest fish I've ever seen. But yet, God is so neat and beautiful how He creates things. One day I was fishing from a boat, and I thought I had a halibut. Well, it turned out it was a lean cod. I nearly threw the rod and reel overboard. It was a commercial rod and reel. That was an ugly fish. Had spikes for teeth. Big old pot belly, bloodshot eyes. And the captain of the boat said, oh, that's good eating. I thought, it's the ugly fish, buddy. And it is good eating. Very good eating, but it's ugly fish. But God created all these fish. And you know, it's interesting how sometimes, even today, you hear scientists say, oh, we've discovered a new species of fish that we've never seen, or a new species of bird or another animal that we've never seen. So God creates the fish and the birds. And then on day six, the crowning day of creation, verse 24, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth of its kind, according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. And then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you shall do be for you for food. Also, every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. It was very good. Now, if we think about that, everything that God created the days before, He just simply said it was good. But now He's saying, when He created man, this was very good. That's special. Have you ever just sat back and looked at God's creation and praised His holy name? It's easy to do. One time I was squirrel hunting. Deer season was over. And I was standing on the ground just waiting for some squirrels to come by. And a mama deer and a daddy, mama deer and a baby deer walked right up to me just feeding in front of me. They had already read the newspaper. They knew the season was over with. But they walked up to me, and they're just grazing in front of me, and I'd move around. You know, they didn't bother her. I even one time took my shotgun and just kind of raked her shoulders. She was that close. She looked at me and like, okay, what are you doing? And then she kind of walked off a few steps. That doesn't happen during deer season, okay? I promise you. But I just got to praising the Lord, saying, God, you're so great. You're so neat. This is awesome. Then another time I was deer hunting, and the squirrels were playing all around me. Didn't see any deer, but I saw the squirrels, and I praised the Lord for that. And then one time in Alaska, we had gone caribou hunting, and there was about four of us. And one guy had already killed one, and we were cutting it up, and we heard this noise, sounded like a herd running. And it was a herd. It was a herd of caribou. And they come over the kind of cliff, and they just run it, and about 50 of them in a group. And I'm just saying, wow, these are so beautiful, so awesome. Someone said, John, shoot. I didn't have time to shoot then. I was just praising the Lord. I don't know how many times I let, when I used to hunt, when I'd let a deer or something just run on simply because I got to praising the Lord for His creation. Now, in addition to man, or in addition to the animals, when God created man, He said, let us. Who is us? Us would be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He said, this is very good. Now, if you notice in that passage, God said it was good seven times. Seven times. God did not create man from a monkey. Man didn't come from monkeys. He came when God created man. If man comes from a monkey, why don't monkeys still give birth to men and women? They don't, because they don't come from monkeys. The great preacher that's passed on and gone home to be with the Lord, Adrian Rogers, once said in a sermon that I heard him preach, he said, you know, some people say, well, there's a missing link. He said, there ain't a missing link, missing chain when you have that idea and concept of who God is. But you know, all these things God created, and then in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, And thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. You know, we need rest. And in that time, it was always said in the Old and the New Testament of resting on the Sabbath day. And then in the New Testament came to Sunday, which is the first day of the week. But even a friend of mine yesterday had texted me and said, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm kind of hurting and tired today. I've been doing a lot. The words that came on the text were, go home and rest. You need rest. So we do need rest. God rested. He set the example for us. And we do need that rest. But I want you to take time, look around you and see what creation God has created. Maybe look at a little baby and go, God created that baby. He used man and woman to do that, but He created that little baby. Find things and praise the Lord for them. I guarantee you that when you start praising the Lord over the things He's created, you'll start forgetting about the troubles that you have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You and praise You for all that You created. It was good. We're sorry that sometimes we make it bad, but it was good. Father, we praise You and we thank You for all of creation. You're an awesome God. And we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.